Hey, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Ches. We are holding on daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored anonymously in memory of Yaakov Stransky, Yaakov ben Yehuda Tzvi, a Holocaust survivor who lost his family in the Holocaust and then remarried and rebuilt a family after having children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren that continue his legacy of Torah and mitzvos. And it's also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. We are holding out the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and the Mishnah is going to continue to discuss inyanim relating to Erev Shabbos. That's the order of the Masechta seems to be chronological, that we're starting with things that relate to Erev Shabbos and then we move into that which relates to Shabbos. So this Mishnah relates to things that begin on Erev Shabbos and then will continue into Shabbos. And we're going to have fundamental machlokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, about a number of activities, whether they're mutter to do on Erev Shabbos, knowing that those activities are going to continue into Shabbos. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the geder of the malacha of lisha, of kneading dough. If a person puts in flour, another person puts in water, has any of them violated lush at that point? What if a person then comes and starts mixing the flour and water? Is that a violation, midaraisa, of lush? So what does it take? What exactly is the geder of different people doing different parts of the malacha of lush? And we're also going to talk about different types of items. Not every time you do lush does it involve flour. Sometimes it might involve dirt or ashes or other things that you're combining together, but via a binding agent. So we're going to discuss whether there are any differences between different types of items that one is being lush. Then the Gemara is going to get into the issue of Shavisas Kelim and Hashma'as Kol. We're going to try to explain the Machlokas, Beishamei and Beisilel, about having certain Kelim doing Malacha for you on Shabbos, and what the issue is exactly. Is it an issue that it's just too noisy, and the noise itself is the problem, that it's a zilzal of Shabbos to have noisy things going on Shabbos, or is there some sort of actual problem of Shavisas Kelim, that if you own Kelim that are doing Malacha on Shabbos, that maybe that itself is problematic? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the concern of an Amud Beis of Shema Yechata B'Gechalim, that there are certain things that we don't want you to do, we don't want you to put on a fire on Erev Shabbos, because we're afraid that you might come to stoke the coals on Shabbos. You're going to try to speed up the cooking by stoking the coals on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to give a number of cases where there's an exception and where we're not worried about Shema Yechata B'Gechalim. The Gemara is going to discuss two factors when it comes to the concern of Shema Yechata. One factor is whether exposing the item that's cooking to air will ruin the food, and therefore you're less likely to open up the stove because you don't want to expose it to air, and whether the item is easily accessible. If you were tach betit, if you sealed the oven shut and the item is not easily accessible, maybe there's less of a concern of Shema Yechata. Then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss selling things to a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos, that this item was yours just minutes before Shabbos. Is there a concern in selling it to a non-Jew right before Shabbos, because he's going to be using these items that have previously been identified with a Jew, and he's going to be using them on Shabbos? And then at the very end of the daf, we have our major daf yomi coincidence. The Gemara discusses selling chametz to a nachri before Pesach. Not the way we imagine it of mechiras chametz to get around the isra of bal yirah bal yimatzei, but stam, a person has a business and he sells chametz. So is he allowed to sell chametz to a nachri prior to Pesach? We'll see if we get to that today. So let's begin at the Mishnah on daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, Beishamei Omrim, Ein Shorin, Diyo, V'Samanim, V'Karshinin, Elo Kadesh Yashorim Mibod Yom, U'Beisil Matirin. Beishamei says you're not allowed to soak on Erev Shabbos ink that you're making in order to write with. So you soak certain plants or whatever in water till it creates this thick dark ink, or samanim, which are dyes that you would soak in water in order to then use that dyed water to dye clothing, or kashinin, certain types of beans that are used for animal fodder, and they soak it in water for a long time. So you're only allowed to begin the soaking of these things if the soaking will be completed before Shabbos begins. That's Beis Shammai Shita, but Beis Hillel Matir and Beis Hillel says, no, as long as you start the soaking before Shabbos, it doesn't matter that it takes a long time, and that until the ink is completed, until the dye is completed, until the fodder is ready to be used, to be fed to animals, it's already going to be Shabbos. It doesn't matter. You started Mibod Yom. You started before Shabbos, and that's all we can ask. That's the Shita of Beis Hillel. So now, other malachos that that there's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel for a very similar reason. Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Nosnin Unin Shel Pishtan L'Toch HaTanur. You're not allowed to put bundles of combed flax into a pot in the inside of an oven in order to whiten the flax. Ella kadesh yabilu mibod yom, unless you're able to get it that it will heat up before Shabbos begins. Velo esatzemer liyora ella kadesh yilkot ha'ayin ubeisel matirin. And Beis Shammai also says you're not allowed to put wool into the pot that they dye the wool in unless it has enough time before Shabbos that the dyeing is going to happen before Shabbos begins. But in both of these cases as well, Beis Hillel says, it doesn't matter that the malacha is going to be completed after Shabbos begins. You did the maisa malacha, you did the action before Shabbos, and mela, there's no problem, it's going to be mutter. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Porsin Mitzodos Chaya Va'ofos V'Dogim, Ela Kedei She'Yotzodu Mibod Yom. Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to put out traps to trap animals, wild beasts, or birds, or fish on Erev Shabbos unless you know that it's going to be able to trap animals before Shabbos starts. And Beis Hillel is matir that you could put out the traps even though you know that it's not going to trap animals until after Shabbos already begins. The malacha of Tzeda on Shabbos is an Issur D'oraisa. That is one of the malachos, one of the Lamatas malachos. We're going to have it in the big Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel. But Legabe Tzeda, by just spreading out a trap, Tosos writes, that's Pater Midoraisa. Because by spreading out a trap, you don't know if any animal is going to take the bait, if any animal is going to come into that trap. If you know Bevadai that an animal is going to come in, even if it doesn't happen right away, according to Tosos, you'd be Chayiv Chatos, it would be a Nisidoraisa. But nevertheless, Beis Shammai were goes there, not even to put out a trap on Erev Shabbos, because sometimes when you're putting out the trap, an animal will come in there right away, and if that were to happen on Shabbos, that you put out the trap and the animal comes in right away, that would be a chiv d'oraisa. So that's why Beis Shammai doesn't allow this on Erev Shabbos, because if it were to happen on Shabbos and an animal were to come in right away, it would be a chiv d'oraisa. The Rashba writes that that's only according to the Shita of Rabbah that we're going to learn in tomorrow's daf, that Beis Shammai goes there anytime something could be maybe l'day chiyuv chatos b'Shabbos, anytime if this were done on Shabbos, it would be maybe l'day chiyuv chatos, Beis Shammai goes there, don't do it on Erev Shabbos. However, we're going to see the Shita of Rav Yosef, that the Machlokas is really about Shvisas Kelim. But when it's impossible that right away something is going to be trapped in to the from Erev Shabbos, you're still going to be in violation of Shvisas Kelim. So that's how the Rashba explains this discussion. Tosos raises the question on the Lashon of the Mishnah. It says, Kadeshi Yotzodu Mi Ba'od Yom. What does that mean? What sort of shear is that? Enough time that it will trap something before Shabbos. Is it a matter of time? It's a matter of how many animals are there and how well you fooled the animal into going into the trap. Why is that a matter of time? What sort of shear is there for the amount of time that it takes? So Tosus explains, based on Yerushalmi, that we're talking about where you spread a trap in the forest where there are lots and lots of chayos, and it's very likely that a chayo will come into the trap immediately. So that's what it means, Kadesh Yitzudim Yibod. I was talking about the location of your trap. So again, back in the Mishnah had said that Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to set up a trap for wild animals or even fish unless it's going to be able to trap something before Shabbos starts. And Beis Hillel is matir, Beis Hillel allows it. The Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein mochrin lanachri, ve'ein toan inimo, ve'ein magbiin alav, ela b'kdei she'yagil l'makom karov, u'beisil matirin. Another machlokes Beis Shammai v'Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to sell an object to a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to help load up his donkey with items on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to help load him up if he's trying to schlep things on Erev Shabbos, unless he has enough time before Shabbos to get to a makom karov, that there's a place that he can go, that he can settle for Shabbos, and he can get there before Shabbos starts. And Beis Hillel's matter, Beis Hillel says, no, once it's by the guy, it's not your problem anymore, and there's no problem with selling to him or loading him up right before Shabbos. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Nosin Oros La'Abdon V'lo Kelim La'Koveis Nachri, Ela V'Kdei She'yasu Mibod Yom. That Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to give on Erev Shabbos animal hides to a tanner, nor begadim to a cleaner if he's a nachri, unless he has enough time to clean it mibod yom to take care of all of it before Shabbos starts. And Beis Hillel is matir about that as well. Since he gave it to a guy mibod yom, so it's his malacha and it's called the malacha of the guy, not the malacha of Yisrael. So mele it's mutter for him. Tosos points out that the heter according to Beis Hillel is only if the guy will do the malacha in his own home, because anyone who sees him will think that he's doing his own malacha. But if he's going to do the malacha in the Beis Hoshel Yisrael, in a Jewish person's home, then even Beis Hillel will have a problem with giving him this malacha to do on Erev Shabbos. Ubekulan Beis Hillel Matirin Beis Hillel's matter, all of these things, if you do it while the sun is still shining, when Shabbos has not yet begun. So now the Mishnah just adds that there were some from the Beis Hillel that were still machmir, that even though Beis Hillel was mekel on every single shaila, every single issue that we've had so far, there were some members of the Beis Hillel that were a little bit more machmir. So on the very top of Yud Ches Amar Aleph, Amar Ram Shimon Gamliel, Noagin Hoyu Beis Abba, that Ram Shimon Gamliel is talking. So he says, in my father's house, his father's house is Rabbi Gamliel's house, Sheinosin Klei Lavan LaKoveis Nakri Shloshi Yamim Kodem LaShabbos, that they would give white clothing to a non-Jewish dry cleaner to clean it 3 days in advance of Shabbos, because Big Day Pishtan are not easy to clean. It takes 3 days to clean it well, so if you were to give it to him less than 3 days before Shabbos, he's going to end up doing it on Shabbos. Beis Rabbi Gamliel was from the Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel allows giving begadim to a koveis right before Shabbos. Nevertheless, they were machmir on this manner, like the shita of Beis Shammai. Rashi writes that Beis Rabbi Gamliel were machmir on themselves, but they were not machmir on acherin. Meaning, lahalacha, of course they held like the Beis Hillel, but they thought it was a worthwhile chumrah to be machmir for themselves for shitas Beis Shammai. The Rimi Lunil disagrees. He says, no, the whole edus over here is that they paskined in this case like the Beis Shammai, not that they were just machmir in themselves, but against what Rashi and Tosfos says the Rimi Lunil, they actually paskined like the Beis Shammai. They have to make sure there's enough time for the laundry to be done before Shabbos begins. The Shavin Elu Ve'elu, and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree, Shetan and Koras Beis Habad V'igule Agas, that after you've already crushed some olives and they're ready to be pressed by the beams that will draw all of the oil out of the olives, that you're allowed to do that miba'od yom, even though the shemen is going to still be squeezing out of the olives when Shabbos begins. And the same is true when it comes to winemaking, that you can start the process and place the heavy beams over the olives or over the grapes, even though over the going into Shabbos there will still be some oil and some grapes and some wine that is seeping out of the olives and of the grapes. Okay, so that's the Mishnah, all those different cases where Beis Shammai is more machmir and Beis Hillel is more mekel. So in the Mishnah we had a machlokas about shriya samimanim on Erev Shabbos. If you're soaking certain dyes on Erev Shabbos, so it sounds like to soak them on Shabbos itself, everyone would agree it's a aser. So the Gemara wants to know who said what? Why would soaking something be aser on Shabbos? So mantana nesinas mayim l'toch diyo zuhi shriyasan. Who is the Tana that holds that when you put water into diyo, into the herbs that make up ink, even though you didn't actually mix them together by hand, you didn't do anything to them, that's called shriya. That's considered to be a violation of the malacha of lush, because it's mixing on its own. So I'm Rav Yosef Rebihi. That must be the Shita of Rebbe. Titania, because we have a Brisa when it comes to the Isra of Lush on Shabbos. That if one person puts flour into a bowl and someone else pours water into the bowl, the guy who poured the water into the bowl is already going to be chayiv for lush, divrei Rebbe, according to Rebbe, even though he didn't actually mix it. Just by putting the water in, it already starts the process of combining the little pieces of flour together. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Eino Chayiv Ad Sheyegabel. But Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're only going to be Chayiv for Lush if you actually mix the Kemach and the Mayim together. So the same is true when it comes to putting Mayim on the Samanim of Dio, that according to Rabbi, you're going to be Chayiv on Shabbos for Lush. But according to Rabbi Yosef, you're going to be Potter because you were not Megabel B'Yadayim. You didn't actually mix it in with your hands. There is a discussion in the Achronim. The Eglei Tal brings a raya from many Rishonim that even according to Rabbi Yossi, right? Rabbi Yossi said you're only going to be chayiv ad sheyegabel when you actually mix it. So what does that mean? Einu chayiv ad sheyegabel. We were talking about a case where one guy put flour in and then the second guy put water in. So then Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudha says einu chayiv ad sheyegabel. Rabbi had said the second guy is already chayiv, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudha says no, he's not chayiv unless he's megabel. Who's not chayiv unless he's megabel? Does that mean that anyone who comes and is megabel is already chayiv? Or are we saying no? He, the guy who added the water second, what he did to that point is not enough to be chayiv. If he subsequently, in addition to adding the water, is also megabel, he's going to be chayiv. Meaning, is it necessary for a person to both add the second ingredient and be megabel, or is just being megabel enough to be chayiv? So the Eglei Tal writes in Meleches Lush, Sifkat and Beis, that according to Rabbi Yossi, you're only chayiv if you were nasan es hamayim and you were megabel. But if someone else put the water in, and then someone else came and was megabel, they're both going to be putter. And he explains, because putting the water in actually connects and attaches the pieces to each other, be the flour through the vehicle, through the medium of the water. But it's not yet a guf echad. It doesn't become a single unit until you're actually megabel. So that's the shita of the Eglei Tal. Merkavas HaMishnah disagrees. He says, no, so as soon as someone is megabel, he's going to be chayiv, even if he's not the one that added the water. Even if he's not the one that added the water into it. So Abaye asks on Rav Yosef. So again, what happened over here? We want to know who is the Tana of our Mishnah that holds that Shriya Samanim alone is going to be a chayiv without actually mixing it together. Oh, that's Rabbi, because Rabbi holds even just putting the water into flour, you're already chayiv mishum lash. So Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, V'dilma adkan lo kamer Rabbi Yosi. Maybe Rabbi Yossi only says that when it comes to flour, which is something that is that lends itself to gibul, that is meant to be kneaded. So the gibul is the ikar malacha. So you're not going to be chayiv unless you're megablet. But the way to make ink is not by mixing it together by hand. You don't have the same process in making ink that you have by making a dough. So maybe the chiyuv for ink would be even just by putting the water in, even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you need to be megabel when it comes to flour. Maybe he'll hold that you don't need to be megabel when it comes to dio, when it comes to making ink, because it's more typical when you make ink to just let it soak and not to actually be megabel. So the Gemara says, lo sal kadaitach, you can't say that, because titanya echad nosein es ha'efer ve'echad nosein es ha'mayim. One person puts ashes and the other one puts water on the ashes. Ha'achron chayiv. The second guy is chayiv mishum lash, even though he was not megabel the efer with the mayim, divrei Rebbe. And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad sheyegabel. And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, even when it comes to ashes and water, you're only going to be chayiv when you are megabel. Now the ashes are not a bar gibel. Ashes are more similar to dio than they are to flour. Meaning, what was the distinction we made? We said, when it comes to flour, it's normal to mix it together by hand and to do a gibel. So maybe that's what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda requires, gibel in order to be chayiv. But when you're making dio, when you're making ink, even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is not going to require gibel in order to be chayiv. Oh yeah? Well, if that's the case, ashes and water should be just like dio. And even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda should not require that you actually mix it by hand in order to be chayiv. And yet, here we have a brisa that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, Gabel, that even though we're dealing with ashes, which are not a bar gibel, it's not something that would normally be mixed together by hand, nevertheless, he requires that you mix it by hand in order to be chayiv. So says Gemara, that's not necessarily a raya. Vidilma, my efer, afer. You have a lot of times that the word afer really means afer. The Gemara says this in Maseches Chulin. Pasuk says, Me afar shreifa sachatos. So the Gemara holds that afer is also called afer, because it says afer shreifa sachatos. afar. If you burn something, you don't get afar. You get afar, you get ashes. So how come the Torah says, may afar shreifas achatas, as in ayin peiresh, as in dirt? Elamai says the Gemara a lot of times, afar and afar are interchangeable with each other, and therefore, maybe when it talks about doing the gibul, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah saying that you're only going to be chayiv if you actually actively mix, he's not talking about afar, he's talking about afar. Va'atanya afar, va'atanya afar. So it says the Gemara, but the two brises, there are two brises that have this machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi. One of them says, echa nosein es ha'afar, and the other one says, echa nosein es ha'afar. From the fact that there are two different brises, and one of them used the word afar, and the other one used the word afar, it sounds like even by afar, this is going to be true. So it says the Gemara, nah, midi gabe adadi tanya. Were these two brises taught together that you're going to be medayik from the slight change in lashon from one to the other? They weren't taught together. One brisa was taught by Rabbi Chiya, and the other one was taught by Rabbi Yoshia. So they're two totally different brises from two totally different sources. So it could be that they're both talking about afar. It's just one of them calls afar afar, and the other one calls afar afar. But if you actually had afar, if you actually had ashes, maybe even Rabbi Yossi would agree to Rabbi that just putting the water, just mixing the ingredients, even without active mixing, just placing both ingredients, the water and the ashes, maybe even Rabbi Yossi would agree that that's enough to be chayiv mishum lisha. So that's how the Gemara seems to end it off, that we wanted to suggest that our Mishnah must be assuming that one violates lush like Rabbi, that even if you just put in the water without actually mixing, you're chayiv. And then we said, nah, our Mishnah might even be going like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah. Granted, normally Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah requires mixing, physically actively mixing in order to be chayiv, but maybe that's only by something that's normal to physically actively mix, but something like ashes, you would not, or something like Dio, something like ink, it would not be, he would not have that requirement of the physical active mixing together. Okay, so that's the sugya of lush. Now the Gemara discusses other malachos that could begin on Erev Shabbos and continue on their own on Shabbos. And it should be noted, this is a major part of the sugya, this is the primary sugya of Shabbos clocks that we have, because in the times of the Gemara, obviously they didn't have Shabbos clocks, they didn't have anything they could set up on a clock with that's controlling electricity. But this is talking about setting up a system where something is going to happen on Shabbos based on a system that was set up on Erev Shabbos. So this is one of the this is the primary sugya relating to Shabbos clocks. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Potkin Mayim Legina Erev Shabbos im Chashecha. You can open up some water, a slight water passageway into a garden on Erev Shabbos before it gets dark. Umismalis valechas kol yom kulo, and then it could fill up the garden the entire Shabbos. The Ritva writes that the chiddush of the Braisa is that you don't have to worry that you're going to do this on Shabbos and you'll violate watering the garden, which is an av malacha. So what malacha is watering the garden? So it's either choresh or zoreya, but it's definitely something, right? There's definitely a malacha d'oraisa to water the garden. So as long as you set this up on Erev Shabbos and it's happening on its own, on Shabbos, that's perfectly permissible. Umanichin mugmar tachas hakelim. You're allowed to put mugmar. Mugmar is like a certain sweet-smelling spices that they would burn, and then they would put their clothing right above where it was burning, so that the clothing would get some of the aroma of those spices that they were burning on that they were burning underneath it. So you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to put the mugmar underneath the kelim, underneath your clothing on Erev Shabbos. And there's a question in the gear, so whether we're goris the words Erev Shabbos. Umis gamrin v'holchim kalayom kulo. And it can continue, that process can continue the entire day. Umanichin gofris tachas hakelim. You're allowed to put gofris on top of gecholim, on top of coals that are underneath kelim. And the reason they would do that is that they would they would have nice silver kelim, and they would etch beautiful designs in the silver kelim. So when they would burn certain things right underneath the silver kelim, the smoke that would come up would sharpen the etchings. It would make the etchings in the silver kelim much more visible. So they would darken and sharpen the etchings of the kelim. So you're allowed to do that on Erev Shabbos. And then it can continue throughout the entire Shabbos. Umanichen kilor al gabe ayin. You could put some sort of patch on your eye. This palanis al gabe mako, or some sort of bandage on a wound on Erev Shabbos, umis Shabbos v'leches kol yom kulo, even though it's going to be providing refuah throughout the Shabbos. Tosfos raises the question that the Gemara is going to say later on that you're allowed to be Shora Kilurin made of Shabbos and to put it Tachas Ha'ayin B'Shabbos, that you're allowed to put Kilurin on Shabbos underneath your eye. So what's the Gemara saying over here? What's the big Chiddush over here? That you're allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos? The Gemara is going to say later on in Daf Kuf Chasamid Beis that you're allowed to even do it on Shabbos. So Tosa says that over there we're talking about a healthy person. And he's not putting it lirefua, he's putting it litanuk. This price is talking about someone who needs it lirefua. And therefore it would be usher to do on Shabbos, it would only be mutter to do on Erev Shabbos. Alternatively, the Rush suggests that over here we're talking about a thick Kilar, which you're not allowed to put on the eye on Shabbos because of a gezerah of shchika sammanim, that you might come to grind up herbs, or a gezerah of shemi yimarchenu, that you might come to smooth it out. But over there, we're talking about a liquidy type of kilar, which has no chashash that you're going to be mimareach it, and there's no chashash that you're going to come to be shochik sammanim, because it doesn't look like it's something that's used for refuah. It looks like something that's just like a wash on the eye. So that's how the Rishonim deal with the problem. But our Brisa very clearly seems to be telling us that you're allowed to place this therapeutic stuff on your eye on Erev Shabbos, and Mishabbos Valechas Kol Yom Kulo. Avle Einos in Chitin Latocheri Chaim Shel Mayim El Begdeshi Yitachanu Mi Baod Yom. That's a key line. You're not allowed to put wheat in a Rechaim Shel Mayim in a water mill unless it can all get ground up Mi Baod Yom, unless the melacha can be completed when it's daytime. So right there is a problem. We said at the beginning of the Brisa that no problem if you want to open up some waterways that are going to continue to water your lawn on Shabbos. Ah, that's okay. You'd started before Shabbos. It's going to go into Shabbos. That's perfectly fine. But now, when it comes to grinding wheat, for some reason, that's going to be a problem. You're not allowed to set up wheat in advance in a water mill if it's going to be grinding into Shabbos. So says the Gemara, my time, why would you not be allowed to put wheat into the water mill? This is a violation. It's just that it's so noisy. And that's something that's so noisy is a great zilzal for Shabbos, and something that's going to be such a zilzal for Shabbos, we're not going to allow. The water is quiet. The water watering your garden, that's quiet. It doesn't make any noise, and there's no iser since you set it up before Shabbos. But over here, you're setting something up that's going to be making a racket on Shabbos. That's the problem. So Amalei Rav Yosef, V'lei Mamar Mishum Shvisas Kelim. Why don't you just say your Chayiv Mishum Shvisas Kelim, that your Kelim are doing Malacha. Your mill is doing Malacha. Titania, because after all, the Brisa darshans the Pasuk, Uvuchol Asher Amarti Aleichem, Tisha Meiru, and the word Ubechol is L'Rabos Shvisas Kelim. Tells me that even your Kelim are not allowed to do Malacha for you. Ella Am Rav Yosef, Mishum Shvisas Kelim. Rav Yosef says, you're right, that's the issue. The issue is Shvisas Kelim. I mean, Rav Yosef disagrees with Rabba. Rabba suggested that the problem with the mill is that it makes too much noise. Rav Yosef said the problem is Shvisas Kelim. Now that plays a huge role in terms of using Shabbos clocks to turn things on Shabbos. What exactly is the issue? Is the Isser one of Shvisas Kelim, or is the Isser one of Hashma Askol? Huge nafkamina. If the Isser is one of Shvisas Kelim, so then you can't have your Kelim doing Malach on Shabbos, period. You're not allowed to set up Shabbos clocks. But if the Isser is not Shvisas Kelim, the Isser is one of Hashma Askol, it's only things that are particularly noisy that are going to be problematic. In the Shulchan Aruch, we assume that that there is no Isser of Shvisas Kelim, that only Beis Shammai is concerned about Shvisas Kelim, and we passing like the Beis Hillel, that there's no concern of Shvisas Kelim. Nevertheless, the Bach is Machmir for those Shitos that assume that we also have to be concerned for Shvisas Kelim. Rav Shlomo Zalman in one of his Tshuvas suggests that maybe it's Kedai L'Chadchila to be Machmir for the Bach. The sense that you get from the Gedolei Aposkim of the previous generation as these timers were coming out and they were started to realize that things could run on Shabbos without skipping a beat just by having things set up on timers before even they had smart houses and everything else, the sense that you got was that that somewhere deep down they felt that something was going to go wrong with this, that this was something that was not going to play out properly. And that's where Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva. He doesn't say it's usher to set a timer. He says it's usher lahatir davarzeh, such an unusual lashon. It's aser to be matirit, like he's talking to the poskim, meaning it's not aser, it's actually mutter to do, but it's aser to be matirit, because if you're matirit, then who knows what that's going to lead to. So Rav Moshe held that when it comes to lights, so already the minhag Yisrael is that we rely on timers when it comes to lights, but when it comes to anything beyond lights, so we're going to have to be more machmir, because it's aser lahatir davarzeh. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, for his part, also thought that we should try to be machmir for the sheet of the Bach if we possibly could. Most poskim, I think, nowadays already are not as machmir for shitas Rav Moshe, that all timers are necessarily problematic, because there is no iser of shvisas kelim on Shabbos. Okay, so says the Gemara now, we have this machlokas, whether the iser is one of hashma askal or one of shvisas kelim. V'hashadam etl beis hillel islu shvisas kelim da'oraisa. Now that the Rav Yosef is telling me that beis hillel holds that there's such a din called shvisas kelim, because the brisa's machmir about the water mill on account of it being Shvisas Kalim, and that's going according to Beis Hillel. So then Gofres Umugmar Mai Taima Sharu, why do they allow burning the incense underneath the clothing to make the clothing smell nicer, to make the silver Kalim have sharper etchings? Mishum Delokav and Maisa. Says Umar, because the Kli is not really doing any Maisa. It's just on the ground, and the Gofres and the Mugmar are inside the Kli. But a mill is grinding. A mill is actually doing something. So says the Gemara Vaiter, Unin Shal Pishtan. Yeah, what about the bundle of Pishtan that are mislabein on Shabbos? My time Asharu, why would that be mutter? After all, the oven is doing the libun. Mishum t'loven maisa umenach naicha. Says Gemara, because the oven is not really doing anything. It's just sitting there on the ground, and the fire inside of the oven is doing the libun. The oven is just there. But when it comes to the mill itself is doing the grinding. So ask the Gemara, Mitzudas chayva v'dogim, the kavin maisa, my time Asharu. Oh yeah, what about trapping the fish and the wild animals and the birds, the traps are doing a maisa. So if there's a din of shvisas kelim, whenever your kli is actually doing a maisa, then it should be usher to set these traps as well. So he says hasam nami beluche. We're talking about where the dog swallows he bites into the hook and he traps himself by doing that. Meaning the dog is the one that does all the action. It's not you that's doing the action. The kukre. Or there's a type of delokav and maisa, where he's not doing a maisa. Kukre is like you have a basket that's open wide at one end and has a very narrow opening at the other end. So the fish comes in and the fish starts swimming downstream, and he swims right into the basket, but because it's so narrow at the other end, he can't move. His head gets stuck in there. So it's not the trap that did anything. The trap was just sitting there the whole time. The fish came and stuck his head in, and now he can't get out. He's trying to wiggle his way out, but he can't. That's the way this trap works. So it's not the trap that's doing a maisa, it's the fish that's doing a maisa to trap himself. So now the Gemara brings another opinion as far as what these Tanayim are arguing about when it comes to Shvisas Kelim. V'hashadam Rav Oshiyam Ravasi Man Tana Shvisas Kelim Doraisa Beis Shammai Yivel Lo Beis Hillel. That the only Tana that holds Shvisas Kelim as a problem is Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. So the Beis Shammai Bein Kavin Maisa Bein Delo Kavin Maisa Aser. So then according to Beis Shammai, if Beis Shammai is one that asks for Shvisas Kelim, it shouldn't matter whether the Kli does a Maisa, because we find that Beis Shammai doesn't allow even putting the Onin Shel Pishtan into the tanur, even though the tanur is not actually doing anything, it's just the malacha is just being done inside the tanur. El Beis Hillel Avagav the Kavin Maisa Shari, and according to Beis Hillel, it should be mutter no matter what, even if the kli is actually doing a maisa. The Hash Daamrit El Beis Shammai Avagav the Lovin Maisa Aser. And once we say that according to Beis Shammai, even if it's not doing a maisa, it's going to be aser ihachi. If that's the case, Mugmar Vegafris Maitai Masharu Beis Shammai. Why would Beis Shammai allow putting the incense or the thing that sharpens the etchings of silver, if after all, granted, it's not doing a maisa, but Beis Shammai asur shvisas kelim, even when it's not doing a maisa? And since Gemara hasa menach ara, in the brisa over there, it's talking about that the gufras and the mugmar is on the ground, it's not in a kli. So there is no issue of shvisas kelim, because it wasn't even in a kli to begin with. So the Gemara asks, Vaita though, Gigis, a jug where you make a vat where you make beer that the barley soaks for a long time, for more than a week in the vat. So the Gigis is doing malacha on Shabbos. Viner, or you have a kli that you put oil and a wick into and you light it on Erev Shabbos so that it could stay lit on Shabbos. Ukedera, or you have a pot that you put food in on Erev Shabbos and the food continues to cook into Shabbos. Ushvud, or you have a spit that you put food on Erev Shabbos and it continues to roast into Shabbos. My time is Shara Beishamai. Why would Beishamai be okay with that? Ayit Shvisas Kalim. So the Mafkalu Afkure says the Gemara, unbelievable Ukimta. You have to assume that the fellow is being Mafkir those Kalim. He doesn't want his Kalim to be doing Malacha on Shabbos. So even though we don't know that he was actually Mafkir, we assume he must have been Mafkir. Now there is a Gemara Mesech Zudarim that says that if you want to make something Hefker, it's necessary to do so Bifnei Shlosha. You need to do it in front of three people, but that's only a din midrabanan. So Tosos points out that since over here the guy doesn't want to violate Shvisas Kalim, he doesn't even need to be mafkir b'fnei shlosha. Hemidu divrayim al din d'oraisa. We allow the hefker to happen just belave, and just the fact that he decided that he decided that he doesn't want these kalim to belong to him. That's enough. The Rashba writes that this is not something that he even has to think. It's just leiv beizdin masna aleihem. That the assumption is that Beisdin once made it tonight that all of these kalim are hefker. So says Mar Man Tam Lahadu Tan Rabban Lo Tamali Isha Kadera Asasios for Turmesin Vitaniach Latochatan Rav Shabsim Khashecha. Who's the Tana of the following brisa that says that a woman shouldn't put different types of beans that cook very slowly and cook all Shabbos long into a pot on Erev Shabbos Vim Nasnan Motsoy Shabbos Asur Bekdesh Yasu? And if she did set it up before Shabbos, it's going to be Asra Motsoy Shabbos until the amount of time that it could have cooked after Shabbos, that a baker can't fill up a barrel of water and put it into the oven on Erev Shabbos before it gets dark. All of this seems to be a violation of Shvisas Kalim, and only Beis Shammai holds Shvisas Kalim is a problem. Says Gemara, a new thing over here. Says the Gemara, even according to Beis Hillel, that Shvisas Kalim is mutter, when there is something that is cooking into Shabbos, and there's a concern that you might come to stoke the coals to make it cook more quickly, even Beis Hillel is going to answer such activities. Ihachi, says the Gemara, if that's true, Mugmar v'gafris nami ligzar. Why didn't Beis Hillel make a gzera about the Mugmar and the gafris as well? The burning of the incense underneath the clothing. So it says the Gemara, hasam la mechati luhu. Di mechati salik bu kutra v'kashi luhu. Now you would never stoke those coals because then smoke would come up and the smoke would ruin the clothing. Why didn't Beis Hillel make a gzera about the flax that you were whitening? No, because over there, if you expose it to the atmosphere, the air is going to ruin it, so you're not going to want to open up the oven to stoke the coals. Similarly, why don't we make a gzera about wool in the dyeing pot? We're talking about that it's off of the fire and there are no coals. But shouldn't we be concerned at least you might stir it still on Shabbos? No, not only is it off the fire, it's also totally sealed shut. So it's unlikely that you're going to come to stir it. So says Gemara, okay, v'hash damar marsh gzeira shem yichata begchalim. Now that you told me that there is this concern, according to Beis Hillel, that a person might come to stoke coals, hay kedeira chaisa, shari lanucha erev Shabbos m'chashecha betanura. If you have a very raw piece of meat that could not get cooked by that night anyway, no matter what you do to it, there's no concern that you're going to come to be mechata begchalim, because it's not going to help anyway. It's only going to be able to be cooked by the next morning anyway. So it's mutter, therefore, to put it in the oven right before Shabbos. My time, since it's anyway not going to be ready for that evening, we assume that you'll be Masiach Das from it, and you're not going to come to be Mechatel B'Gechalim, Uvashil Shabbadami, and to put it, and also to put something that's fully cooked in the oven, where there's no concern that you're going to be Mechata, also is not going to be a problem, because why would you stoke the coals if it's already fully cooked? You know where the whole problem is? Bashil v'lo bashil. You have something that's partially cooked. That's aser. That's going to be a problem because if it's only partially cooked, you may want to stoke the coals to cook it more quickly. And if you have something that's partially cooked, if you put a raw piece of meat into it, that will be matir the whole thing because now it's not going to cook quickly at all. Once we said that anything that the wind, the atmosphere will ruin it, and something that is sealed shut is not going to be a problem. If you have a basar of gedi that the oven is totally sealed shut, you don't have a problem because basar of gedi would get ruined by wind. And it's totally sealed shut, so there's no concern. You're going to open it up. If you have basar of an ayil, of a large ayil, and it's not totally sealed shut, the oven's not sealed shut, that's going to be aser because you have neither factor. It won't get ruined by the wind, and you have easy access to it. The shaila is, what if you have one and not the other? The gadya velo sarik or the baruch of a sarik? So that Rav Ashi Shari, Rav Ashi says that it's mutter to put in the oven because he holds that if you have one of these reasons, either it will get ruined by the wind, or you don't have easy access to it, one or the other is enough reason to be matir. But Rami Amri Medifti Asir, he says, no, you need both reasons. Ul Ravashi Deshari, and according to Ravashi, who's matir, we have a Mishnah later on that ain't solen basar betzel beitza, elikadeshi it solen mibaodiyom. You're not allowed to roast meat or onions or eggs unless it could be roasted mibaodiyom. And it sounds like it's talking about any kind of meat, whether it be gedi or ayil. So says Gemara, no, hasam debarcha velo sar. According to Ravashi, the Mishnah over there is talking about basar of an ayil, and it's not totally sealed shut. Ikeda amri degadya bein sarik bein lo sarik shapir dami. Others say that if it's basar gedi, it doesn't matter if the oven is totally sealed shut. Either way, it's going to be fine. You don't have to worry that you're going to open it up to stoke the coals. Debarcha nami v'sarik, and if it's basar of an ayil, of a large ayil, and you totally seal the oven shut, shapir dami, that's also good enough. One or the other heter is good enough. Ki pligi debarcha v'lo sarik. What if it's a basar of a large ayil and you haven't sealed the oven shut? That's where the Rav Ashi Shari Rav Ashi is still going to say that it's mutter. Rav Yirmi Midifti Aser. Ul Rav Ashi the Shari ain't selling basar betzel beitza al kadeshi it's selling mibod yom hasam bebissa agumri. When we say that you have to have the meat roasted before Shabbos starts, that according to Rav Ashi is talking about basar that's put on coals that are on the ground that are not inside of an oven. So that way you could be makel to be chotah b'gachalim because there's no covering on it at all. So that's more likely to lead to problems. But when it's in an oven, it's not the derech. It wouldn't be normal to be mechata b'gechalim. Amar Ravina, hay karachaya, if you have a raw gourd, shapir dami. You're allowed to put it into the oven on Erev Shabbos in order that it should roast on Shabbos. Kivin dekashi lezika, kibisra degadya dami. Since the atmosphere is bad for it, the air is going to be bad for it, we consider it like basar shel gedi, that the rabbanon were not gozer, shema yechata. Okay, we'll have to stop there. And Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Beishamay Omrim Ein Mochrim. We'll talk about selling things to Goyim before Shabbos and before Pesach. Have a great day, everybody.